May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1015. My soul repeat his praise, whose mercies are so great, whose anger is so slow to rise, so ready to abate. 1015.
Let us read from the Word of God, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, the 41st chapter in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 41. Keep silence before me, O island, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him from it to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and has driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and pass safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbour, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. Yea, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them, I the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, and the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce ye your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good and or do ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous. Yea, there is none that sheweth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counsellor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their work is nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer, may he help us in prayer. O Lord, we do beg for that help that was promised. Oh, thou knowest how thou hast, as we've been begging thee and seeking thee. And, Lord, we beg that thou would so come tonight and manifest thy favour here. Thou knowest we gather here with our friends once more, thou hast appointed it, we trust. And we pray it may be proved so. And Lord, that we may feel the blessedness of thy presence here with us. Oh Lord, we beg for this. Oh, and that we might be favoured to know, applied to us, those fear nots we've read in thy word. Oh, we beg thee, do come, Lord, and help us that we may worship thee, our God, the living God, the only true God, our God, our good and gracious God. We have so much, Lord, to be thankful for. Oh, the greatest wonder is thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. Thou hast not cast us away, cut us off and cast us away. We are favoured once more to gather upon praying ground. No, we do pray thou wilt so come and visit us from the sanctuary of heaven, that we may know that here in this sanctuary the wonderful favour of thy working, of thy sovereign dealings with us, thy love may flow into our hearts. We may burn with love in return to thee, our God. O Lord, as has been prayed before the service, and we trust there are many here prayed, oh, we beg that thou would come and visit us here tonight with thy salvation. Oh, Lord, this greatest matter of our need, Lord, our interest in thy great salvation, our need of it. Lord, in this we come and have, if we feel to come, confessing our sins. And that word which is so much in us and been so much with us so many years, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But thou knowest, Lord, those here who really have the burden of sin, who really feel the guilt of sin, really truly need a release from guilt. Oh, those who really need to know thy holy blood applied to them. Oh, those who need the atonement. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. We beg that there might be real earnestness in our felt need and our prayers, Lord, for thy rich blessing. Oh, we think of that wonderful theme, that rich atoning blood. Oh, that we might see it sprinkled round, I see. Oh, it provides for those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. Behold the throne of grace, the Saviour calls us near. Oh, Lord, may we feel it, blessedly feel it here tonight. Lord, that thou wouldst come and do poor sinners good. Thou wouldst come and so grant that favour, that blessed favour of thy attending to cases here this night, Lord. We pray for each one present, Lord. And any that would be here who cannot, we pray for them, we remember them, Lord, and pray that we'll go to them. And the little ones, Lord, the dear children, how we think of them and remember them, Lord, and pray that they will in thy time bring them to know their need, to know the favour, the wonderful favours of thy grace. O Lord, do quicken sinners into life according to thy will at thy time, whether they be young or thou knowest thy appointed time. We look for thy appearing in quickening sinners into life. We look for thy appearing in the witness of it that does appear, will appear in thy time. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord, and thy glory unto their children. And Lord, as we gather tonight, as we do discern, but pray that thou wilt meet the cases of thy people. There are those, Lord, who have had the week of labouring in the things, the natural things of their calling. And Lord, come to the end of the week, thankful for all thy help and keeping, giving strength. Lord, we think of those particularly who have done the travelling much for their work. And Lord, we do thank thee for thy keeping as we have travelled a good deal of late. And Lord, that we favour to come together. Oh, to meet together as one now in glory used to pray, to meet together with a few like-minded friends. And Lord, we know he didn't just mean like-minded in a natural way. Oh, the reality of being a sinner, a needy sinner, and the reality of the favour of having Christ revealed, formed in our hearts the hope of glory, the reality of the favour of desiring to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a few like-minded friends. And Lord, we acknowledge thy goodness to thy people here, who has maintained them in goodly numbers. Oh, but we know there are those here who carry a burden for souls, and Lord, As thy servants come, they carry such a burden for souls. And what we seek, Lord, for them is their souls' eternal good. Oh, that there was so work to prepare us each, Lord, to stand before thy face. For, Lord, we must all die and come to that end, Lord, which is appointed for us. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. No, Lord, oh, we beg, may everyone here be in thy time made concerned about their never dying souls, may be made concerned about eternity and the judgment day. Oh, to have the prayer, Lord, by the Spirit given. Oh, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. We know there is no other way, no other way of salvation. We seek no other way. We seek no other blood nor name to cleanse our guilt and hide our shame. We beg for it, Lord. We seek for it. We pray for it for many. Thou knowest all thy people, and we desire the best of blessings, the best of blessings, love. The love of God, the love of Christ. And oh, we've had it in the beginning, Lord, of the service tonight, and our dear friend so led to choose a hymn. The love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, we beg it may be so. Thou knowest all regarding precious souls here. Oh, what thou hast appointed for them. And oh, we look for thy appearing of making manifest thy divine appointments, thy favours, the favours of thy love and grace. Oh, bless souls here, Lord. Thou hast wonderfully worked, and we acknowledge what thou hast done, Lord. But we are covetous, Lord, for these things that are vital, these things that are blessed, these things that are eternal. We are covetous for God's blessing, God's presence, God's favour, for precious souls that they were so blessed, and do them good, and help us, Lord, enable us that we may live to thy praise. We may praise thee. We may show forth thy praise. For we know this is the purpose of thy will for thy people, that they shall be formed for thyself. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So we beg that we may so be dealt with, wrought upon by the Spirit of God, and well taught since he merit, and to gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai the solemn law experience to Calvary, from Zion, from Sinai to the cross, Lord, to see thee there, to view thee there, and to hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you. So do come tonight, Lord. Thou knowest how anxious one has been. Oh, thou knowest how great has been our pleading, how earnest we hope we have. Thou hast given us real pleading, to beg thee to give the word. And oh, we beg thou wilt so bless thy word tonight to do sinners good here. We pray for all our friends, Lord, up and down across the land. We pray for all our loved ones and those connected with the friends here that are not present tonight. And now we carry a burden for them, Lord. Some that are gone their way, we beg thee bring them back. One in hospital, Lord, Mrs. B. parish, Lord, we remember her. You know, with her dear friend, dear deacon here, has visited her today, we understand. And how poorly she is now, how weak she is. Do go to her, Lord, could it be thy will? Oh, to speak to her. Oh, to give her something blessedly real. We pray for dear loved ones who witness, who are anxious, who are concerned. Oh, bless and help them, Lord. Oh, we pray thus. Oh, may there be those blessed evidences that it is well. You know, yesterday we read concerning the Shunammite woman. No, we know that child was given by the promise of the prophet. But we read he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And oh, how she ran to the man of God. And oh, how there was then that question asked, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? What a great question, vital question it is, friends, that each of the friends might be concerned to be able to answer it. We remember once that question being asked, Lord, by a godly deacon to another godly deacon. And we saw the dear man bend down right into the seat in front. And he was bent down over the seat. Whilst that dear deacon who was looking on with one, we were waiting. And then the dear man lifted up his head and looked at the dear deacon, his friend, and made that blessed statement, we believe from his heart, it is well, John. And oh, here we know, that was the last time that the dear deacon of Grove saw the dear deacon of Uffington. Oh, Lord, do just give us a part in that last blessing he had. Oh, Lord, we are humbled to think of these things, to remember these things. Oh, our burden is, Lord, that thou would grant indeed blessing here tonight, that thou would do poor sinners good and get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. We pray for each one thus and pray, Lord, help me. Lord, help us each. Oh, Lord, speak in that way and seal by the Spirit thy word to some precious soul here tonight. Grant divine direction. Oh, grant us to be in the favour of thy leading us, drawing us. Jesus draws the chosen race. Oh, we may follow at thy call, Lord. And how sweet the theme, how wonderful the theme, the joy prepared for suffering saints shall make amends for all. So hear us, Lord. There are many things we thou knowest have to pray for day by day and cast our burdens upon thee. Thou knowest all, Lord, make up in giving where we fail to ask. Oh, Lord, oh, the burden of our cry tonight, Lord, help me. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 225. Faith, 'tis a precious grace, where'er it is bestowed, it boasts of a celestial birth, and is the gift of God. 225.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read and the 10th verse. That is Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Very briefly, I will just make known to you, friends, how the Lord has given me this word. We've been travelling about quite a bit lately, and this afternoon I was very anxious. I was begging the Lord would prepare me to come to you, but I couldn't settle on anything. And I think it was near to 4 o'clock, and the Lord gave these words with power to me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, how it seemed to fill me with amazement that I knew it was the word I must come with, and yet I said, Lord, oh, do confirm it. And you see, when you beg, as we have to beg, the Lord would confirm a word. We're waiting to hear again from the Lord in some way that he would confirm it. We were then too given to have to feel anxious, anxiety continued till we come along, and I said, well, Lord, do confirm it in one of the hymns before I have to preach from the word, if it's that word I must preach from tonight. And what have we just sung in that third verse? Because I did say to the Lord, well, the great marrow and fatness of the subject is the prayer of the servant that the Lord would uphold. And how it is the Lord answers, and he answers like we have it in this text, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's full of blessed promise, friends. Full of what we need, isn't it, this verse? I don't know how you are, but if there are any of you here anxious about your own standing, anxious about your soul's salvation, concerned about perhaps many other things, anxious and concerned regarding loved ones. Yes, how it is when one is ill, when one is drawing near to the end of their journey, perhaps loved ones are anxious. Oh, that this wonderful fear not may be applied in whatever case it is here tonight. Oh, what a wonderful word it is. It will be proved so when God uses it. He's used it, we assure, many, many times. But oh, for us now tonight. Fear thou not. This word is spoken by God to his people. Fear thou not, because there is such a reality of fear. There is such a reality of the need of fear not. And God, in his great kindness, his love and mercy, he has so perfectly ordered it that when his people have need, he will then attend to that need. And it was so, of course, here in the days of the prophet. In my Bible it speaks of that is to calm and confirm the servant, God's servant, at the head of the page, I mean, in my Bible. We know the headings vary in various Bibles, but especially as it is here, that God, He will strengthen. And now I've had to beg for that today. The omnipotence of God, that He's everywhere, He has servants everywhere, and herein it says God will strengthen and help His people. That's the heading in this Bible. And friends, this is what we need, isn't it? Fear thou not. God knows everyone in this chapel who is troubled with fears. What is the reason behind it, under it, that you are troubled with fears? You're anxious, you're concerned. God knows every detail of that which is making these people concerned and burdened and anxious. Whatever feeling it is of trouble and need, God is aware of. He knows all things. He sees us and knows us. Sees us when we see not Him. Oh, He is aware of our need. He is aware of our need of Him to come and speak to us. Convey some message from God, from His heart of love, from Him who cares for His people in every way. It's God. God Jehovah. Oh, the word, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We often say to one another, don't we? It's a kind of a term we use. We hope there's more in it than that. When we speak to friends as we're parting, we say, the Lord be with you. And I hope it is genuine and comes from our hearts. So we speak to our friends and saying goodbye to them. And in that way, the Lord be with you. But do we really feel what importance there is in that? For if the Lord is not with us, we're in danger. We're certainly in danger of being a prey to the enemy. We're in the danger of not being aware, not being on our guard. But if the Lord is with us, we're safe. But we say this to each other, don't we? We say, the Lord be with you. And I hope we are genuine in our desire and our concern in that way. And especially at parting, the Lord be with you. Friends spoke like that to one yesterday. And I hope I spoke to others, spoke to the dear servant of God who was to do the committal of our dear late friend, that the Lord would be with him. And here we need it in every way, in all our steps. And so here the Lord says, he gives this message through the prophet, fear thou not, or to the prophet and through the prophet, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I am with thee. Tonight, friends, have you got real evidence that God is with you? Has God communicated this to you? There are many, many people that it is said and has been many times said of them, they are without God in the world. Without God in the world. But let me come very solemnly to a very important part of the message I must deliver. You know, there are people that attend the means of grace and over many years, and yet they're still without God. What a solemn thing it is if any one of us been attending the means of grace, coming in and out of the chapel, and it would have to be said and will be said at the last if we are not changed by then and prepared and dealt with by God by then. But without God, they're without God. There are many that are without God. There are many that do not have God with them, I mean. The reality is they do not know God. You know, the favour of the grace of God and the favour of that which we've been singing and the vital grace of faith granted by God to his people, that his people may, as the great high priestly prayer of Christ, his heart of perfect desire and love for his people, for the glory of God his Father, to the praise of God his Father, he was praying that they might know me, the only true God, and know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom they were sent. You know, those that are without God, without hope in this world, in tremendous danger and imminent sometimes as they get older. And oh, are we concerned for such, for loved ones, that God would so come to them, go to them, give them to know he is with them. It may be a concern to us each here tonight, for if God is not with us, we're in the greatest danger we could be in, and we don't know it. And that's solemn, to be in such a place and pathway of danger and not realise it. Friends, are there any of you, if I speak to you and speak in love, I hope, and faithfulness, is it true concerning you that God speaks here in this way, I am with thee? Do you know that? Do you have that as some wonderful measure of assurance to you that God is with you? If he's not with you, friends, you are in great danger. Eternity is before you. The judgment day is before you. And as the tree falleth, so it shall lie. That means, spiritually, if we die in a state of being unprepared by God, we're going to be cast out of God's presence forever into a never-ending hell. So close as that, friends, that's the very point of it. The very truth is, this is so, but here the wonderful word is, fear not, for I am with thee. And who is this that is with God's people? Actually, there is the quote in here of the very word relating to God, who God is. God is the great I am. The name of God is I am. And you think that the great, that here the wonderful word is, fear not, for I am with thee, the great God Jehovah, oh God, with his people. Fear not, for I am with thee. All those fears that Satan encourages you to have, Satan is always working in an adverse way to try and make God's people disbelieve that we've been singing, the blessed vital grace of faith. Satan is trying to break that and to rob God's people of that faith God gives them. He will cause them to be dismayed. To cause dismay is his scope. One of the hymn writers says, to sink us in the doom. But here God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed. Satan is always trying to make us become dismayed. And there may be things that have happened even in your life and pathway today or recently that's made you to become very dismayed. Very, very fearful, very troubled. But, oh, God says, he says to those he loves, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, what a favour it is to receive such a word as this. Oh, how I felt it, and felt so humble, so melted, since the Lord so caused this word to settle upon my heart to bring to you tonight. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, what words. There's assurance in this, friends, because it's from God himself. It's God Jehovah speaking. Who does God Jehovah speak to his people? Well, it's God the Father speaking to his children. And the way he communicates to his children is by the Holy Spirit. And when God the Father speaks to his children, he always speaks of his dear beloved Son. I am with thee. Oh, God Jehovah is with his people. And God Jehovah is with his... God the Father could never look upon sinners, his people, with a wonderful approval if they were never seen by God the Father in Christ. They would not be his people. But you see, it's dependent upon the covenant transactions of Jehovah before the world. And God speaks, and the Father speaks. He says, I am with thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God the Father speaking to his children, I am thy God. And you see, when we consider it rightly and we are taught it and blessed to know it, the Father, Son and Holy Ghost to save ourselves are all concerned, then you see there's something very wonderful, very blessed appears and is known, is experienced, is felt by God's children. God's children who are children of the Heavenly King. As ye journey, sweetly sing, sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. If God is with us, he's with us in the way. The way. Oh, and the way cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Oh, children, God's children, they must be following Christ, looking, he has gone before, seeing him by faith, gone before them, and these children of God and their children of God and joint heirs with Christ, God is with them. He is with us, friends, if we are so blessed. How have we been brought to be manifest as children of God? By God's quickening us, by the work of the Spirit bringing us forth from the womb of the covenant, quickened and made alive, born of the Spirit, born from above. You must be born again, the Saviour, the Son of God, stated in that conversation with Nicodemus. It's recorded for us. Ye must be born again. Oh, friends, are you born again? Is the witness in you? God is with you because you're born again. Because the Spirit has worked in you. Because you are taught, you're taught sin's demerit. You're taught your sinnership. You're made to feel it. God's revealed it to you, convicted you of it, convinced you of it. Oh, and he's revealed the wonderful remedy for sin. The Saviour, the Son of God, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, I am thy God and Saviour. The children of God, children of the Father, they greatly depend on God's dear Son, who's the elder brother of the church. I ponder this sometimes. Blessedly the Lord leads me to so meditate upon the Son of God, gift of the Father, the Father's gift, Oh, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, how the Son of God has come, and as the elder brother of the church, he was born for adversity. In the will of God, he was born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. You read that in Proverbs, you think, well, what does this mean? But see the great, amazing, wondrous meaning of it. A brother is born for adversity. There he was. The greatest adversity, the greatest sufferings. Oh, the greatest work he came to do. And bring in the full salvation of the church by his sufferings and death. And in his life, spent his life to work the robe of righteousness. Friends, the Saviour, the Son of God, I am with thee. And so it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, friends, that are with us. If we are favoured with this, if we're in the secret of this, but if we're not in the secret of it, God will only be a terrible God to us. Out of Christ, almighty power, can do nothing but devour. But if we're in the secret of this favour, O God of grace, of love immense, O free thy favours to dispense. And as an enlightened sinner, a sensible sinner, you go to the throne of grace. God of grace, of love immense, how free his favours to dispense I to his mercy seat repair. To thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. Yes. Oh, there's mercy for sinners. There's mercy for these anxious ones. There's love and mercy. It is in the will of God toward them, for them. They are to know and taste redeeming love. We want to come to this, friends. We want to come to the blessed marrow and fatness of this wonderful word, this wonderful fear thou not. For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. I strengthen thee. Oh, well, we more and more need this strengthening. And it's not just bodily strengthening, friends. We need to be strengthened. You know, wonderful theme, how it runs in the word. Oh, to be strengthened with might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. The I will of God. Nothing can frustrate the I will of God. Oh, the I will of God, if we know the favour of it, is most divine, most holy and profound. I will strengthen thee. This is grounded upon covenant transaction, friends. This is the holy purpose of God for his people. I will strengthen thee. But you see, God's will is, he makes his people to feel weakness. He makes his people, it's in his will and purposes to weaken his people's strength in the way. Because they've got so much of their own native strength, which is totally unprofitable to them. They will find that the confidence, the natural confidence, is a great hindrance. We have to have natural confidence for our daily life, for our calling, for our work life, for our seeking our livelihood. That is naturally wholesome and good, and God has so ordered it that his people shall have that. But he will, as he teaches them, It will weaken their strength in the way. They must not be thinking they are self-sufficient. They must not be left to be thinking and having self-admiration, thinking a lot of themselves. God must break it. He must humble us. He must bring us down. He must make us to feel weak. He must make us to feel weak to cause us to cry to him for help. Yes, this is the way of God, the way he works in his holy sovereign will and purposes, in love for his people. He weakens their strength. Oh, one in the Word said, he weakened my strength in the way. Have you known this? Do you feel this? Do you admit this? Has God made you to admit this? And oh, has he made you to know it and to admit it with understanding? Because you know he's done it for good. He does it in you more and more for good. It's not anything in his purposes that is to appear adverse. It's for good, friends. For good. For the good of your soul. I hope I can say, I speak from experience, friends, tonight. He weakened my strength in the way. I was bold and strong and self-righteous and was often boasting it. But, oh, friends, under the teaching of the Spirit, we've got to be brought off of that. And God has many, many, many ways and means of doing this. Proud lions may boast. When lusty and young, soon find to their cost self-confidence realm. Tormented with hunger, they feel their strength gone. They must do. The child of God must lose dependence upon his own native strength. Oh, he must be weakened. But here the wonderful word is, for these that have been weakened, for these that have been brought to know the experience of having to cry to God in their weakness, Lord, help me, Lord, undertake for me. He says, I will help thee. I will help thee. I will help thee. And he will help his people. He helps the helpless. He's the helper of the helpless, the friend of the friendless in the faint. When I say he, I mean the Son of God, in perfect purpose, according to the will of God, his Father, the Son of God, by the Holy Spirit's work and influence and teaching. For the Holy Spirit always testifies of Christ, takes of the things of Jesus, and in the way of God working in his people, it is this, the Holy Spirit will lead to Christ, will testify of Christ, and will give the child of God to have all their dependence fixed upon him. Oh, the favour really, friends, if you've had to know and feel that God has made you to feel your weakness. In the will of God, it's so been brought so. And you feel your unrighteousness. Whereas we were so confident with self-righteousness, now he's shown us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, how weakening that is to the confidence, the natural confidence of a child of God, and how good it is for spiritual confidence that he will cause the child of God to have. A confidence that's strong and unctuous light to all that's wrong. The fear of the Lord is much involved in that. Now, friends, you being weakened is a blessing. You being made to feel you're unrighteous is a blessing. It doesn't appear so, not yet perhaps, but the blessing of the Lord is in these ways known and experienced. The Lord does bring his people to feel so much, and it's a feeling and experiencing of loss. Loss of natural confidence. Loss of self-righteousness. loss of self-esteem, loss of self-love. God makes us, brings us under such experience of conviction of sin to make us hate ourselves. Oh, that I had not of myself. Psalmist came to the point and he said in solemn confession, I was as a beast before him. Think of it, friends, how awfully solemn that is really, but how good it was that he was brought to feel it and to confess it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, how it does weaken a soul in a wonderfully good way when they know they're unrighteous and confess it and repent over their sin by the experience of feeling of the grieving as the Holy Spirit gives godly sorrow, and the child of God feels that deep grief over their sinning against God, sinning against a holy God. But oh, he may have led you more on to know your sins are against his love and blood. Those of you who have had God's blessing in some wonderful measure, but you have sinned afterwards, and it's sins now immense as is the sea, sins against his name and blood. They are even more solemn than their sins, their early sins. They were, many of them in early days, sins in ignorance. But now it's sins against light and knowledge. And that is more and more solemn. And it does weaken us, it does break us, it does make us to be very anxious. If it doesn't, it's solemnly sad. But it will do as the Spirit so gives us to feel that deep repentance that melts a soul. Friends, hear the wonderful word is, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will help thee, I will help thee. And how will he help? He will help by giving the child of God to look to Jesus. You know, much of the experience of weakness, affliction of sin and guilt on the conscience, and as the law condemns us that we're being setting up idols, the idols of self and self-righteousness, and you know we're guilty before God of idolising ourselves and maybe other things too, and God will not have them. He says, and like he spoke to Ephraim, and Ephraim, how he said, what hast thou to do anymore with idols? When we're broken down, when we're melted at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, then we look into Jesus Christ. He who has all that his people need. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. And it is all as the child of God. Help the child of God by giving them that we've sung of that vital grace of faith, and increasing their little faith so that they do look to the Lord Jesus Christ. They rely upon him. It's him alone. It's give me Christ or else I die. It's looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus then in every way and for every need. And oh, the favour then of having a faith that is so strengthened by the Spirit to view all the wonders of redeeming love. The Son of God has done all things well for the Church of God. And oh, friends, then these are the ways God will help. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, God's right hand. God's right hand to do his will, effectually to perform everything according to his will in his people, for their good, for their eternal good, for their blessing, for their salvation. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee. I will help thee. Let us take a few steps back. I will help thee to pray and to come to the throne of grace. I will give thee to pray and approach and come to the throne of grace to ask and beg, and I will hear thee. You know, the greatest favour of help God gives to his people when they have to cry out to God for mercy, for help, is he hears them. He hears the groans of his elect. He hears. It's the favour of faith in exercise to know and believe the Lord hears you. Oh, he hears. And if as you feel that confidence, he hears the groans of his dear people, you know, like this, friends, you may think your prayers are so poor, you're only groaning and you're groaning and sighing. And you may think, and Satan may want, he may do his worst to make you think, well, my prayers are not heard. And there may be, in God's holy sovereign will, his purpose is to answer in his time, but he has a blessed purpose sometimes to keep his people waiting. And while they're waiting, Satan will try to harass them and perplex them and to accuse them and to say, your prayers are no good. I perhaps shouldn't say it quite like that, but you know what I mean. Nor will Satan spare to say, they have quite mistook the way. But the way of God in attending to his people's cases is, he causes them to pray, and he gives them prayer. And though he may keep them waiting, stand, he has a purpose to answer. And he will answer. He will in his time. And I will help thee. I will help thee to importune the throne of grace. A soul that is really in earnest is the matter of concern and burden they have. Their soul's burden is so great, so heavy, so important, they have to beg and beg and beg, and they cannot give up because theirs is an urgent, pressing case, and the Lord has a purpose in his time to answer and to bless them. And you've got your guilt, your sin on you, guilt on your conscience. You are a sinner, you feel it, deeply feel it. You're unrighteous, unholy, that I'm unholy needs no proof. You know that word sorely. I've thought of it recently, as we know in Africa, there's a sore famine in a great part of Africa. The word sorely is a very, very strong word. God's people, in their cases, they sorely feel the fall. They're unholy. They're sinners. Sinners before a holy God. The great trouble of sin and guilt upon them. And oh, is your prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you had answers, any answer to your prayer of crying for mercy, begging for pardon? You say, if you are really in it, you'll say, I so much need to know my pardon sign, that I'm a pardoned sinner. If God loves me, oh, may he confirm it by granting me pardon. May he give me assurance that I'm a child of God, a true-born child of God. May he give me the seal of it. And oh, you know what seal you want. You want forgiveness. You want pardon. You want the Holy Spirit to apply the remedy. God teaches you, gives you by faith to know and believe in that remedy, to hope in God's mercy, to plead the blood, the holy blood of Christ he shed for sinners, to plead that his holy divine atonement was for you. Oh, you need, and God helps you to pray like this. He says, I will help thee. He says, I will help thee. I will help thee to pray. I'll help thee to beg. I'll help thee to earnestly seek and beg. And he has, as he says, I will help thee, he surely has a purpose that the time will come. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. I can witness, friends, the reality of that. One week evening at Stockport, when I was a young man, attending a prayer meeting, a dear deacon was praying, and he got into my heart. And afterward, I asked him about it. He'd given out the hymn, "And does thy heart for Jesus pine?" In that hymn, it comes in, I believe, the time of love will come. I think that's right. But anyway, I said to him after the prayer meeting, I said, you really got into my heart with your hymn and your prayer. And oh, see his face, the dear godly man's face. What joy appeared on his face. And a poor one like me, a young man, could say that to him. You know, and I was watching and waiting and suing for mercy and begging the Lord would grant me that time of love. And I can tell you tonight, that time of love did come, when I could clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but I could say it was for me. You know, I look back to it now, I need it renewed. We need a fresh application of Christ's holy blood to our hearts and consciences. We need it more and more. But you young people, if you are really concerned about your never-dying soul and really earnestly seeking the Lord, I can say that to you tonight. If you're really earnestly seeking, if you're not earnestly seeking, I pray you might be made to. For it's very important, the most important matter of your life, you know, is to know that Jesus Christ is your Saviour, your dear Redeemer. That's the most important matter in your life. If you know it, if you do know it, that's wonderful. If you don't, it's solemn. If you go on not knowing it, you're going to be cast away at last. If you're not brought to know it, to know Jesus Christ. Oh, to know him as your Saviour. If you are never brought to know that and brought to know and feel assurance of that, you're in a dangerous place. But oh, I pray you mind like me. God was so merciful to me, kind and gracious to me, begun in me when I was just before I was 18 years old and blessed me, set me at liberty a few years later in 1964. I look back to it with wonder and amazement still, with great thankfulness. But I need it renewed, friends. And those of you who need it renewed here tonight, this same word applies. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of God's righteousness is always to be considered. It's Christ, it's God, it's Christ, it's what Christ is, what he has done. Oh, the Son of God, at the right hand of the Father. Oh, God's people, they shall be of his right hand planting, made so, manifest so in this life. The right hand planting of God, the children of God, the plants of his right hand planting. And oh, the great question, solemn question, when thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Well, the way of God is He will cause his people to know their weakness, their sinnership, their guilt, their condemnation under the law of God, but he will give them to become seekers of that wonderful way, favour of God's love and grace, to seek to know my Jesus crucified. This will be what you're brought into the need of it, the favour, the light of the need of it. By far excels all things beside, you will say, and in prayer you'll be begging the Lord to seal to you that the Lord Jesus Christ came and lived and suffered and bled and died for you. And that this wonderful word, God will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. It is, he will uphold us as we are grounded upon Christ. We are our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I believe this is God the Father speaking of all what is vital for the child of God to be found in Christ, found in him, not having their own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. And the upholding is God's love, God's bearing us up, God's supporting us, God has raised us up to a hope in Christ, and he upholds us as he favours us to live believing in Christ, to live believing in him, living upon the merits of Christ, knowing by faith the favour that Christ shed his blood for me, that he spent his life to work the robe of righteousness. Oh, that he is made to me, you will say, made to us to be that one, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. The apostle says that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. And hear the word of prophecy, that which should be known and known by faith by the Old Testament saints, but known in gospel day by all the people of God, as God deals with them, teaches them, brings them into the secret of it. The whole election of grace shall know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. And God the Father's upholding with the right hand of my righteousness is upholding his people as he knows them and sees them in Christ. Oh, the need to be confirmed in this, friends. The need to be assured of this, that the Lord is our Lord, our life, our all, the Lord, our righteousness. Think of it. You know, it's our salvation dependent upon his rich atoning blood being applied to us, us being favoured to know it was shed for me. Oh, that it was the great favour of the love of God to us that he poured out. His soul under death, he poured out his holy blood, he shed his blood. Oh, here he said, didn't he, when there was questioning about whether he should be arrested like he was, as we know in that way Peter smote the high priest and cut off his ear. And what did the Lord say? The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And he was so willing to. And he went to Calvary and he drank the cup of the wrath of God for his people. Oh, God favours his people to know it was for me. This is how he'll uphold you, friends, with the right hand of his righteousness. He'll give you to see Jesus Christ and to know he came for you. And he'll uphold you in the faith, enabling you to trust him, to live upon him. Think of it, how we sing it, in him live upon him, cast our care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. I will uphold thee, the Lord, by the Spirit, so grants the faith. It's the vital grace of faith that is granted to God's people that so gives them to feel the strengthening and the upholding, the favour of the blessed favour of believing and trusting in God, living upon the Saviour. Oh, wonderful favour. The seal of holy blood, the holy blood of Christ to your soul, your sins pardoned, blotted out, and the great favour, high favour of knowing the favour of the righteousness of Christ put upon you, applied to you. Faith puts on the righteousness of Christ, the sacred favour of it. Oh, that favour so expressed in hymn 109. Oh, how blessed it is. And oh, friends, that last God will uphold with the right hand of his righteousness. What will that bring in the effect of it, in the great favour of it? Justification by faith. Justification by faith. And as we were wretched sinners, vile and undone, God's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we long for it more and more, and to know it more and more, and have the seal of the Spirit more and more of these wonders of God's holy redeeming love, that they are for us, that every grace and every favour, all what Christ is and what he's done and what he's doing now, is for us. Oh, done for us. You are blessed, you'll be able to say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, my rags are gone. I'm dressed in garments white as snow. May the Spirit grant this to precious souls here. Oh, more and more that you may know it. Knowing and tasting redeeming love. And knowing that the whole life of Christ here on earth, as he walked about, went about doing good, he spent his life, the hymn writers, as it in those terms put, the Lord Jesus Christ spent his life to work the robe of righteousness. We know it was completed as he rose triumphant o'er the grave, gained the victory of sin and death and hell, and that he rose again for his people's justification. And oh, that he is in heaven now, at God's right hand, interceding for us. I will uphold thee. God upholds his people as they live dependent upon their living Lord in heaven, that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is the way to God. Your deacon quoted to me as we arrived here this night. He quoted to me that wonderful word of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth and the life. And oh, how we so greatly depend upon him and upon that fact that he is the way, the truth and the life, a living way, the only way, the way to God, the way to bliss. And all the church this way has trod, down from Adam's day to this. I'll uphold thee, I'll strengthen thee, I'll help. Fear thou not what is before thee. Fear thou not the pathway thou must tread. The way cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Dread no ills that may befall thee. Well, by grace thou dost make his ways thy choice. Amen.
God willing, next Lord's Day there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock, and Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. And there will be a preaching service on Tuesday, and Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 751.
Forgive anything there is seen amiss, Lord. We know we come short in margin. There no is there. Need to beg for this. Lord, continue with thy people. Lead us on, Lord. Lead us in the way everlasting, we beg. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.